But his style was something else. Ecumenical, open-handed, confident, American. The revivalists of the fundamentalism's wilderness years were figures of fun for nonbelievers. Amy Semple McPherson, the leading evangelist of the 1920s, was accused of faking her own kidnapping for publicity purposes, and by the early 1940s, revivalism itself seemed to be on the verge of dying out. In 1946, the dean of the Harvard Divinity School remarked that the hacks and hucksters of fundamentalism had discredited the tradition of revivals entirely. But Graham, almost single-handedly, revitalized the form, using it to carry an evangelical message from the backwoods tent meetings to the nation's biggest cities and arenas, and then overseas as well, to Europe and the Third World, and even behind the Iron Curtain. As his audiences grew and his horizons expanded, the trajectory of Graham's career led inexorably up from fundamentalism, and his example helped pull millions of his fellow evangelicals upward with him. His big city crusades required cooperation with mainline Protestants and even Catholic leaders, and required him to abandon the radical separatism that many fundamentalist preachers demanded. The people who answered the altar call at his massive urban rallies were referred to local churches afterward, mainline as well as evangelical, Catholic as well as Protestant. As the civil rights movement gathered steam, he invited blacks and whites to worship together at his rallies. 50 years later, Bill Clinton remembered Graham's refusing a request from the City Fathers of Little Rock to segregate his revival there in 1959. "I was just a little boy," Clinton said, "and I never forgot it, and I've loved him ever since." Visiting England in the mid-1950s, Graham was asked about his theological convictions and answered, "I am neither a fundamentalist nor a modernist." Instead, he was on his way to becoming the prototypical neo-evangelical, a term coined by Harold Okengo to describe evangelicalism's mid-century reemergence from the fundamentalist ghetto. The neo-evangelical movement coalesced around a group of new religious institutions. The National Association of Evangelicals was founded in 1942. Fuller Theological Seminary opened its doors 5 years later, with its namesake, Charles E. Fuller, host of the old-fashioned Revival Hour radio show, as its first president. Campus Crusade for Christ began ministering on UCLA's campus in 1951. And Christianity Today, the movement's flagship periodical, was founded midway through Eisenhower's presidency and quickly claimed a readership in the hundreds of thousands. Like Graham's own ministry, these were all parachurch organizations, deliberately designed to transcend the vociferous tendencies of evangelicalism and unify where too many fundamentalist churches had divided. The key neo-evangelical text was Carl F. W. Henry's The Uneasy Conscience of Modern Fundamentalism, which chastised fundamentalists for their separatism and anti-intellectualism and called for evangelicals to re-engage with the nation's great political and social debates. Officially, Henry and his fellow neo-evangelicals were proposing a shift only in tactics, not in theology. "The uneasy conscience of which I write," Henry insisted, "is not one troubled about the great biblical verities, but rather one distressed by the frequent failure to apply them effectively."